Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco, also around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Richard Allen. He is the son of the great Dick Allen, and we're all waiting for the announcement coming up here on December 8th to see if Dick finally gets his rightful spot as an enshrinement in Cooperstown. Richard, welcome to the show. You know, just about a week ago, I had David Fletcher on the show. He wrote Chili Dog MVP. I'm sure you know Richard, but it was really amazing once you start going down the line and looking at the stats that your dad is not in the Hall of Fame. How confident are you that he will get in now, or maybe how worried are you that he won't?
Hi, how are you? And thank you for having me on. Confident? I'm not really taking anything for granted. As you know, I missed by one vote two times. So I'm just hoping for the best. I hope the voters can see things differently this time around, I should say. But confidence, no. As I thought the last time, it could have happened the last time. But we're hoping for the best here.
I have some neighbors who... One's from Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and the other one's from Elwood City. And they'd always talk about going to Wampum. And when I think about it, I was like, you know, I just interviewed a guy who did a book. Your dad, born in Wampum, passed away in Wampum. I mean, what a journey from beginning to end, huh?
It is. Very small town, too. Very small town. It is. I don't know. There's Chewton, Pennsylvania, where he actually lived, which is walking distance, but yeah, like you said, beginning to end, it's for a small town kid like that to grow up to do what he did.
In fact, I didn't bring this up with Fletcher, but I remember, because I'm 59, and so I remember your dad when I was a kid, back when the White Sox looked like the Phillies, you know, the red hats and the red pinstripes, yeah. Which I think a lot of people under 40, you know, this is, I'm not even talking about the Bermuda shorts they are wearing, but there's a SI cover that was one of my favorite 70s covers ever, because your dad's juggling baseballs and he's smoking a cigarette in the dugout, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
That is so great.
It is, but you know what? For some reason, and we're the same age, and that was a great uniform. But you know what? He did not like that picture. It was a great picture. I agree with you, but he did not like it. I like everything about that picture. It's who he was.
What, did it make him look like he didn't care or something because he had smoking a butt and juggling balls, like, or he just didn't like the cigarette part? What didn't he like about it?
It was the cigarette part, because he felt as though it was a bad influence. And from what I was told, that was a closed... there wasn't supposed to be anyone there, and I was told that the photographer that took the picture took it secretly. So, wow. I mean, I don't know how true that is, but so maybe that was another aspect of him not liking the photo. But yeah, he definitely did not like the photo with the cigarette. I mean, I've seen him at a card show, and someone put that one in that photo in front of him. He said, "I can't sign that." They said, okay.
I don't blame him. Now, what, I think it said like juggling his image, because he would have run-ins with guys like Ron Santo or whoever, but yet his managers all said, great team guy, love him, would do anything for his teammates. And then on the other hand, people would say like, that guy, you know, clubhouse poison. Like why was he... Why did he have, on the one hand, you know, had this great reputation, but on the other hand, this sort of, I guess, undeserved rep, too?
That's a great question, because, you know, he would bounce a lot of things off of me growing up, and one thing he said to me was, he's like, I've been a captain of every team I ever played for, from high school to professional level. And he always offered his advice to people that were willing, teammates that were willing to approach him. And I think if there was another, he's basically saying, if there was another teammate that felt like they wanted to be the captain, he wasn't going to fight it. So it's like, here, you know, he respect the management, the manager, you know, had this to say, but if another teammate felt, here, I feel like I should be the captain, then there was some pushback, I believe. So maybe that might be it. But he was definitely willing to help and teach the younger guys on, you know, on teams that he played.
Right. I grew up being a fan of a team that's no longer in existence called the Oakland A's. And I think I was about like in eighth grade when your dad came to the A's. And I remember thinking, because I remember him being a slugger, and I was like, oh, that'll work. And what was it? There was a doubleheader at Comiskey, and he had something with Charlie Finley, or what happened? Because he's just like, that's it, I'm done. He never played again.
Now, see, that one, he was on his way out there out as part of a career, and I think there was something there with Charles Finley, and he just, this is later I'm speaking on it in his life. He said, you know, by that time I was just tired. I was just done with everything that was going on. But I don't remember exactly, you know, what was said, and, you know, because those that part of his career he really didn't talk too much about.
I just
remember all the different uniforms they had. That's all. I'm sorry.
Right. Speaking with Richard Allen, Dick Allen's son, I remember him also as being a guy who, and this is way before roids or the juiced ball, but prolific, like not squeaking over the fence, but like, you know, row 25. I mean, your dad, that power, that was not common back then.
No. And, you know, stadiums were bigger, buddy. As he would put it, he said, I'm just throwing the bat head out there. The pitcher's supplying all the power. I said, okay. I mean, it the size bat and the barrel bat that he had, I mean, that had something to do with it. But, again, I mean, he had the forearms and the hand strength to drop that bat head down there and reverse that spin and get it up out of there. Strong man, very strong man for his size.
And as you're well aware, it's been almost 4 years now to the day that he passed. Did he openly say, I should be in? Did he campaign for himself, or was he more like, if it happens, it happens?
He never wanted to talk about it. You know what? He never said he should be there. He did say, I shouldn't have to, you know, stand on a soapbox and, you know, raise a flag and say, here, look what I did. He always felt that what he did was enough, and that should be it. He didn't. He, like I said, he never talked about it. But the one thing, that's what I was going to say, the one thing he did say is that if he were elected, he'd be more concerned about forgetting someone to thank along the way.
Wow.
He said that would bother him the most. Yeah, he's like, what if I forget somebody? You know, what if I, then they'll be upset with me. But other than that, he did say, if I'm gone, he said, that's on you, not me.
Potentially, it'll be you at Cooperstown giving the speech, right?
Right, and that's why he said, well, if I'm gone and you forget to thank somebody, it's on you. That's a great thing.
Well, speaking of forgetting, like, you know, our generation is the last to have seen him play. And every day that goes by, people fade more and more out of our minds. And unless you're a Phillies fan and you see that 15 on the wall that says Allen, I think a lot of people, this is why we have this Veterans Committee. So do you think this is his last shot? Or do you think as time goes by, because it's I remember with Andre Dawson, like, he's not a Hall of Famer. And then the roids came around, and they're like, oh, those numbers are clean. We should put, you know, the Hawk in there. And I think maybe with your dad, too, it's like all those numbers are clean. You know, he hit nearly 300. A power hitter who hit nearly 300 for that long in his career. Do you think this is kind of like his last chance this time, or are you wait for the next go-around in 3 or 4 years?
Sadly enough, I think it is his last time, and the only reason I think it would be is because the people that, or the, you know, the voters that were actually around to witness to see, you know, to know what he did. And, you know, as time goes on, they're all going to be gone. And the voters are going to be, you know, younger than myself. And the name, all they see is the numbers. And they look at the numbers he produced, and then they look at the numbers today, which are obviously higher than they were back then. But the game was different. So like you said, so there was the, you know, juice era and all that stuff. And his numbers will get pushed down. So I do think that this would be his last chance. But if by chance he does not, you know, get the vote and his name does come up, maybe. But I don't see it.
Last question for you. I know that his brothers, your uncles, played. They, you know, they weren't nearly as good, obviously, but they were good enough to be major league players. Are they still around? Are they campaigning as well?
They are not campaigning. The brother older than my father, Harold Hank Allen, he just passed over the summer July, and the only one left is my Uncle Ron. Oh, no. And he's still alive, but about 2 weeks ago, he called me and asked me what I thought about my father's chances of getting in. But as far as campaigning, no. Like I said, they were all small-town guys, you know, very humble.
Well, I hope we see you there at Cooperstown. It's an amazing place, and your father very much deserving to get in. So I hope he gets his fair rewards. I'm sorry it would be posthumously, but I think it would be great for you and the rest of your family. We've been speaking with Richard Allen. Best of luck on the 8th, man.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Good talking to you.